in a bizarre religious ceremony, 11 live human beings were nailed to crosses in the Philippines today. The Lenten ritual, opposed by religious leaders in the Philippines, is an annual tradition in this farming village about 45 miles north of the capital, Manila. The Roman Catholic devotees were crucified in batches, their palms and feet attached to wooden crosses with 4-inch nails soaked in alcohol to prevent infection. 9 devotees underwent the ritual in San Pedro Catud, including Ruben Inje, a 45-year-old commercial sign maker who was nailed to the cross for the 20th time. NJ has said it is his way of thanking God after he miraculously survived a fall from a building when he was a construction worker. In Capitangan, another village north of Manila, 2 men wearing long wigs and tin crowns were nailed to the cross before about 1,000 spectators. Berlusconi is certain to lose the election. Romano Prodi looks set to be confirmed as the winner of Italy's general election after the number of contested ballots was drastically lowered. The Interior Ministry said it made an error and only 5,000 votes were being checked instead of about 80,000. However, Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi has told supporters in Rome that he is carrying on and will resist. Our correspondent says even if all the contested ballots went to Berlusconi, the final result would not change. Iraq bloody war continues. Gunmen ambushed a large police convoy in a rural area north of the capital on Thursday, killing at least 17 officers, according to a police lieutenant. Elsewhere, an attack on a Shiite shrine and the assassination of a Sunni Arab politician's brother threatened to further inflame sectarian tensions as Iraqi factions struggled to form a national government. Also, 2 homemade bombs exploded Friday at 2 Sunni mosques in Bakuba, 37 miles north of Baghdad, killing 4 people and wounding 6 others, police said. The attacks occurred around 2 p.m. after Friday prayers as worshipers were leaving. For the Head On Radio Network News, I'm Bruce Birch.
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Hey, good evening. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. It's a good, well, it's a pretty good Friday night. It's your nightly confrontation with the facts, and, you know, I guess there are some terribly self-absorbed talk hosts out there who think that, you know, once a week we'll let other people talk about what they want to talk about. It's open line every day here. Of course it is. So whatever you've got on your mind, you heard the phone number. I'll repeat it, 877-443-2366, 877, the number for Head On. And you can bring to the table just about anything that you want. And frankly, that could be anything this evening. The crucifixion rituals that Bruce mentioned in the top of the hour news, and somewhere in a suburb of or a neighborhood of Mexico City, like we discussed last week, they're reenacting the festival of Xipe Totec. Only they're calling him Jesus instead, and beating the snot out of each other, and toting crosses up a hill, and it even extends here to the hills of wild, wonderful West Virginia, where on this Good Friday, as I was driving. Oh, had to run over to get some stuff at the shopping center, and I saw a group of teenagers carrying 8-foot 2x4s that had a cross tie nailed to them, and orange visibility vests with neon green stripes on them, marking Good Friday. Now, here in the Kincaid household, we have our traditional Easter decorations up. We have crucified a toy rabbit in the front yard and put a nest of chocolate eggs underneath him. I kid. I hope everyone has a great Easter weekend. Now, there is another, Eostre, E-O-S-T-R-E, the origin of the word Easter. We're so, you know, just right has become for something to talk about because their president is a failure, their ideas are a failure, their policies are a failure, their plans are a failure. This Bortz character comes on, and he is telling a story with obvious glee of a construction worker in Pittsburgh. A construction worker in Pittsburgh who was looking down an elevator shaft, and the elevator came down above him and lopped his head right off. And you could hear the glee in his voice and his little assistant and his little producer going, "Oh no, Neil, oh no." Yep, lopped it right off. And then he goes into a story, you know, and I stopped right there. One, what is the news value of passing that on? How desperate are you to talk about something that you would do that?
I mean, you know.
What's his name?
I never kiss and tell.
FourthEstateRadio.com.
This is Bruce Birch, and if you missed my show Sunday night, here's what I got up to. A group of U.S. businessmen in the UAE said they will invite the Oprah Winfrey Show and other talk shows to the Gulf to change American public opinion, which has helped block Dubai's takeover of 6 U.S. ports. He's saying that they want to reach out to the average guy in the United States and explain why the UAE is important. If you want to reach out to the average guy in the United States, they need to send... something, not Oprah. I mean, how many average guys do you know watch Oprah? I don't. If they want to reach out to the average guy in the United States, as much as I hate to say it, they need to send Jerry Springer and the Jerry Springer Show over there with the bald guy. You know, maybe they can do a UAE version of my grandmother is also my lover or something like that. Oh, that's just a...
Join me, Bruce Birch, for All Things Reconsidered every Sunday evening, 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, allthingsreconsidered.org.
Lottie in the chat room has fixed himself some stuffed pork chops with apple raisin walnut chuck.
You, me, Grace, Rama.
Mango chutney.
Hey, speaking of that,
it's all you need.
Mustard seed?
Mustard seed, yeah. That article.
It's not
there.
The same as mustard gas.
Well, it's pretty close. Mustard gas.
Join
mustard
Grace
gas.
And Rama, homebodies, Sunday evenings, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Head On Radio Network. It's food for thought.
Want to fight childhood asthma? Then fight it with a scrub brush and a hot soapy towel. Even in the neatest and tidiest homes, if there's so much as a crumb to eat or a drop to drink, household pests like bugs and mice will do all that they can to get it. Creepy crawlies like bugs and mice are unpleasant enough as it is, but they're more than just a nuisance for kids with asthma because they can actually trigger an asthma attack. So, give them a whole lot of nothing. Sweep up crumbs, wipe down tables, scrub dishes before they pile up in the sink, and store leftovers in plastic bags or bowls. Don't leave them so much as one tidbit or nibble, and you can stop a childhood asthma attack before it starts. Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org because no child should feel like a fish out of water. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Treat me with understanding.
Treat me with respect.
Drug and alcohol addiction is an equal opportunity disease.
Treat me without judgment.
Individuals in recovery come from all walks of life and deserve to be treated with respect for winning one of the hardest battles there is.
Treat me with courtesy.
Treat me with humanity.
alcohol and drug addiction deserves proper treatment. For drug and alcohol information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her. Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Joanne Woodward. Ever notice how many things in life happen in a circle? The seasons, revolving credit, hula hoops, the spinning of the circle we call Earth, and recycling. Together, we've already made a difference. Sorting glass, plastic, separating cans, stacking newspapers. Now there are lots of products made from things we've already recycled. A paperclip, in a more daring life, a 56 convertible, a cereal box, once your Sunday paper. It all goes back to the circle. It starts when we recycle trash at home and at work. It's completed when we buy products made from recycled materials. How do you know the difference? Check the label for something called post-consumer recycled content. Then buy the highest percentage of it you can find. You'll save a tree, you'll save energy, and in your own way, you'll help save the world. Complete the circle.
For your free Buy Recycled shopping guide, call 1-800-2-RECYCLE. A message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense. Finding the ways that work.
Conservatives? We don't need no stinking conservatives. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. In the chat room, our good buddy Rick. Bob and Agnes must move. Bob and Agnes must move. I assume that means to somewhere that they have real broadband connections. We're working on it. It's going to be fixed. Right now, for tonight, we just looked at the weather map. There's more crap coming in. We're screwed. Okay, so here's how it's going to work. I'm going to take it up to the top of the hour and mail it in after that. I apologize. I feel terrible about it. I was just on the phone with Ben Birch. We are both fit to be tied. I try really hard to put out a good product. And, you know, I see conversation radio as being very, very important. And right now, technically speaking, I'm getting no cooperation. And I'll be honest, I'm not going to sit here and let this thing burp in and burp out and wonder how much of the show is getting down the line and how much isn't. I am frustrated in the extreme. My mind is not on top of doing the show right now. My mind is on top of never mind.
And Agnes is having
a nervous breakdown. So let's go from the stream, mind you. It's nothing I did. I'm a nice guy.
No, I'm going to go to our service provider.
That's the thing. I've got 3 hours worth of work with Verizon to do on the phone here in an hour or so. But it's Friday night, and our good buddy Andy is with us from Wales, and I don't want to keep him waiting, and I want to try to get his phone call on the air. Are you with us, Andy?
Yeah, man. How's it going?
Not well.
Well, I gathered that. I was going, oh, no, is it my local server? Is it my local server?
No, it's not your local server.
And then, yeah, you apologized to potential congressman, was that the case?
I hope future congressman.
Okay, cool. We'll go with future congressman. That's much more positive. That was a good conversation, what I caught of it. You'll have to get him back when there's no thunderstorms in the sky.
And the new service that we've ordered has come in, yes.
Yeah, right, yeah, you need to get yourself a nice brand new fiber optic that doesn't interfere with any telephone exchanges anyway.
Well, this is just, I mean, I don't know, you're fairly technically savvy, Andy. This just drives me crazy because there are T1 lines running all up and down through here, out to the high school, over to the whitewater rafting industries, literally all around here. And I haven't gotten around to asking them, but I don't know. did their data transmission lines go down every time it... I'm not kidding. It's every time it thunders.
Yeah, well, I mean, from I don't know. I mean, I'm not the... I'm fairly technically savvy. I'm not the most technically savvy person in the world, but I'm amazed that they don't work in thunderstorms, because basically the only time that that line should have any kind of contact with anything like, you know, normal telephony based is when it reaches the server or the interchange point, and all of that should be underground.
Well, you would think, and see, that's what I get from them, Andy. I get, well, you know, is it when it rains? Nah, it doesn't. It can, the ground can be bone dry, but if there's a thunderstorm 30 miles away, we're done.
Yeah, well, what it probably is that somebody cheap, i.e. bottom line corporate style, has not put in the necessary, like, feedback dampeners. Because thunderstorms create a great electromagnetic potential that you do sometimes get lightning with, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, that potential can interfere with, like, you know, say you've got telephone wires webbing between a load of houses somewhere in some rural community or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that can act as a... As the like electromagnetic field turns around it, it can generate an electric charge inside the copper wires as they're hanging in the air because they're not insulated well enough. And then that, if there's no dampeners further down the system, can feed back. I mean, all this was like worked out back in whenever they invented telegraph.
Yeah, Alexander Graham Bell.
Oh, well, no, before him, man. You know, the telegraph.
Well, yeah, true. Yeah, Samuel F. B. Morse.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, it's basically, as I said to Agnes, cheap American equipment. Now, that's not to say it's American equipment. It says
No, I'm sure none of it's American-made equipment.
Just assembled in America, isn't it? So you can't really blame you guys.
Well, the thing that drives me crazy is I have had Verizon, union member Verizon employees out here, and they have busted their humps.
Well, of course, I mean, they have.
There was a guy out here Saturday, a great guy, just got soaking wet in the rain, and finally said, "I think I found it."
Yeah.
You know, these guys really do care about what they're doing. It's the engineering up the line.
Well, that's it. I mean, you know, same as the troops. You work with what you got.
Yeah, we got great great privates and sergeants, and you know, not so much with the general staff.
Well, yeah.
And I mean, it's to be the same on this structure, you know. So I want it understood. I am not gooning on the working people on the ground.
No, well, it's the same. It's the same in the teaching industry over there, and to a degree over here. It's like the teaching's really difficult, and it's not performing too well. So let's blame the teachers. You know, it's like
right. No.
Who pays the bills for the teaching?
Yeah.
Problem. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Who's the one mandating that little kids have to take all these tests that, well, and I mean, we see
we've just started dropping all the tests we piled on kids. I mean, I was one of the back when I was like 11 years old, I was one of the first person that did what we call SATs, like stats,
mm-hmm.
and standard assessment tests or something, and they were going to come in at 7, 11, and 14, and then you do your GCSE, which is like the final exam before you go on to A-levels, and then you go on to a degree. The stats were ridiculous. I mean, I'm pretty, you know, clued up and stuff. I scored 100% in all the stats I did. But then I was looking at it and just going, this is really badly phrased, correcting mistakes and things on exam paper, which I got told off for. but they couldn't knock any marks off because I got 100%, you know what I mean? And the whole system has basically, like, driven down all standards over here, and I'm sure the same thing's happening over there, you know.
Exactly.
Targets don't work. Targets just do not work. If you slap a target on someone, that what's that advert? I love that advert. The worker will be happy because he knows his target is just a guideline, not a big act hanging over his job.
Yeah, and not a psychopathic game of let's see if we can make
let's see who pops first or whatever. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, you know, if you slap these sort of targets, quotas, call it what you like, you know, levels of attainment required, whatever you want to call it, there's all sorts of jargon. That is the number one cause, I feel, of driving down standards.
Yeah, well, I think you're right, because every one of the working people that I've had to deal with these technical issues have been good and rock solid, but the failure is in the infrastructure itself, and that's only because a lot of this stuff has been done on the cheap to increase the shareholder return, the golden parachute for the CEO and his $15,000 umbrella stand.
Oh, of course. I mean, you know, you see it in all manner of industry that's privatized. I mean, anywhere that they can exert a local monopoly, they do. I mean, people talk about monopolies as being sort of nation or state spanning. But a monopoly doesn't have to be that. A monopoly is simply the only real option in your area. Walmart, for example, wiping out all the little stores. And
well, and see, that's the thing. Verizon is the only game for me right now.
That's it.
And because even if I go with another company, Verizon runs the final line.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, that's the thing over here. We've got privatized water and stuff like that, privatized gas and electric. All are, you know, supposed to bring money back to the customer's pocket by making it cheaper and introducing competition. Of course, what's happened is because they all, like, you know, supply one area and then you buy it from another one and they have to ship it through the first one and you're paying one company and they're paying another company and they're paying another company and, you know, all of this means that they fix the price at a baseline and then shave different amounts of profit margin over the top of that. So you're not paying a different company. You're essentially paying the local people the base rate, which you would have been paying back when it was a state industry, and now you're paying a profit on top of that to some other company.
Well, we see that with our water service,
yeah.
And you know, all of this seems very particularized, Andy. But the fact of the matter is, it is not a particularized issue. This is an issue that goes to the overall mindset that has polluted my nation and yours.
The world,
this idea that, and you heard it enunciated the first time Bush ran for president. I want to be the CEO president. Yeah. I want to run this country like a corporation.
Yeah.
And you can't. There are some things, you know, we've got this, our water, you know, I've said it before. We buy it from from West Virginia American Water Company. They are owned by a holding company called American Water, who is in turn owned by a British firm that is in turn owned by a German firm.
Yeah. I mean, the ironic thing about that is we don't actually let foreign companies own our utilities here.
Oh, no.
But, you know, that's going to change if Blair gets his way, because it's not simply Bush, is it? I mean, it's that whole globalization, free trade nonsense. I mean, it's reduction of the masses to absolute poverty, starvation, and then death in that order, and then they can have everything for themselves. I mean, God forbid they invest those billions they've stolen. Well, let's be real. Quadrillions or quintillions they've stolen from us over the last, like, 1,000 years, that they invest any of that in, like, a space program that would bring untold riches from our near-Earth.
Well, did you see that story the other day, Andy? I mean, it looks like the thing's holding up, so, you know. I tell you what, no, let's keep going. I don't want to waste your money. Did you see this thing where the Russians are apparently talking about heading to the moon?
Yeah.
For resource development?
Well, they've got that's a big blind. They're not going to the moon. It's ridiculous because the gravity well makes it pointless. All they need to do is capture a rocky iron carboniferous asteroid, which there are several thousand we've spotted orbiting somewhere between either us and Venus or us and Mars, and it'd take minute amounts of delta V change to bring one of them into an Earth orbit. Park it somewhere between the Earth and the Moon, just going round, and start developing that. Then all you need to do is capture a comet. And, I mean, with the carboniferous one, you've got tons of essentially pure nickel and iron and a whole host of other lighter metals. And with the comet, you're going to have all the hydrocarbons, water, and everything else you could possibly need.
All right. Saturn's moon Titan is just up to its neck in methane?
Oh, yeah. Well, if you're talking about interstellar fuel, Titan's going to be one of the better stops for refueling, interplanetary, I should say, better stops for refueling for traveling around the system. But there's also a couple of other ones that are going to look. Enceladus is actually using huge jets of hydrogen, just blasting them out every, 18 hours.
And see, here we are. This is talk radio on the internet, conversation radio on the internet. We're discussing this kind of stuff, and I'm saddled up with a government over here, Andy, that's thinking about tax cuts.
I know.
None of this is ever going to happen with tax cuts.
Do you know what, right? Our conservatives, I hate them, because Tony Blair's essentially one, and Margaret Thatcher ruined my childhood and my country.
Man, you feel about her the way I feel about Ronald Reagan.
Oh, yeah, you know, we can't say it on the air, but we both know what we'd like to do to those people. With a pen. Just a pen. But anyway, no, I mean, even our Conservatives are saying, no, we can't cut taxes next time. You know, if we get into power, we've got a plan that in 15 or 20 years, if, you know, we manage to rescue the economy from when it's going to collapse soon, because it is over here, because Gordon Brown's a fool, they're saying we're not going to be able to cut taxes. And that's like the first time, well, in living history that the Conservatives have not said they're going to cut taxes.
That's well, how can you say that with any credibility anymore? You can't talk that tax cut garbage anymore.
Well, that's it. I mean, you know, how is... I mean, George Bush is insane. There's even Republicans in the Senate going, we haven't got any money. How can we cut taxes? We're not taking any taxes.
Yeah, tell him to go sit and eat at the kiddie table and the grown-ups will work this all out. I know, Andy. It's disgusting to me.
Well, the guy's insane. I mean, he's doing what the corporatists want. And let's be really, really clear again here. Corporatist equals fascist.
Sure.
Many ways about it.
Well, that's what Mussolini said. He said the fascism should more properly be called corporatism because it is the perfect merger between the resources of the state and the resources of business.
Absolutely. Well, that's what it is. It's the transformation of the oligarchy system into the corporatist system. I mean, the corporation takes the role of the family. And the problem with that is the corporation has no loyalty to even its own workers, whereas a family, you know, say what you like about the mafia. If they killed one of their own, they had a reason for it. A corporation doesn't need a reason for it. It simply has to save it some money, and that's not a reason.
Yeah, they just, well, they need an accounting principle for it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's what life is. Cheap, isn't it? I mean, you know, the basic way corporations look at things are the way that the most crazed despots look at things are.
Yeah, shall we just go back to nasty, brutish, and short? I mean, I think that's where we're headed, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, they want to create a slave caste of humans that lives for 30 or so years, you know? That would be the ideal solution for these people because they could remain rich and then they could just have literally the masses doing all the menial labor that needs doing. And, you know, there's people out there voicing their, let's reduce the world's population down to 150 million and, you know, all this sort of stuff. And they're not talking about capping birth rates and slowly doing it over the course of the next few hundred years. They're talking about slaughtering millions of people.
Yes.
Billions of people. And, you know, these are the same crowd that back up George Bush and his corporate allies because they all want the same thing.
It's a spooky, spooky little future that we're...
Well, it is, you know. I mean, I grew up thinking, some people are just like conspiracy theorists and some people are right and some things you should be a bit worried about, you know, but others you shouldn't. Now, well, I don't think snakehead aliens are running the oil industry, but the brains behind the eyes of the people who are running it are definitely reptilian type of brain.
Yeah, they are. Andy, we're going to knock it off for the weekend. I don't
cool,
even know
man.
How.
Well,
I don't even know.
Weekend.
Pardon?
Have yourself a good weekend, man.
I'm going to try, and you as well.
Will be.
And happy Aostre, Astarte.
Yeah, man. Well, wish me good luck. I've got a DJ set tomorrow night.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And I'm hoping, break a leg, and I hope we'll hear it, maybe post it up.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'll break it down into 5 half-hour sections so people can download it sort of sections at a time, and we'll mail it on to you Monday or Tuesday.
Okay, great. Sounds wonderful, Andy.
Wicked, man. Take care.
Take care now.
Agnes.
Bye now.
Bye now.
Honest to God, I don't know how much of our conversation has gotten through, and I am not a prima donna. And, you know, by God, there's a brown M&M in my bowl of green M&Ms, and I quit! I'm not going to do that. But I'm also not going to deliver substandard quality programming. I'm not going to do that. So what little show there was produced by my lovely wife, Agnes. Before the thunder starts again, we even lose the credits. Brian Reznor announces our engineer is Randy Kerbway. Ben Birch maintains the stream when the stream gets to him at whiterosesociety.org. Now, tomorrow night, things will be fixed up and righteous and ready to go. We'll have a cup of Joe for you, followed by Fourth Estate Radio, Joe Vecchio, followed by our good friends Bruce Birch and John Fox. And just to let you know before I do go, we may be doing a little experiment next week. I may be broadcasting this from a remote location that's not this remote location. So it should be kind of exciting. And as ever, the program is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union carpenters and millwrights are building the American dream, and they're saving the American dream by helping us build the Head On Radio Network. And even when the show is foreshortened and truncated, always, 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 RMR, it's all for you.